Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen. Our good shepherd, the one who is the way, the truth, the life. I want to talk about the gospel lesson, John 14, these wonderful words of Jesus for our meditation today. We pray, Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Cause your word always, Lord, to penetrate our ears, our minds, our hearts, to give us faith, understanding. May we not have the hard hearts of the Jews who wouldn't listen to Stephen, who were enraged at him. Give us humble hearts, faithful hearts that receive your word with joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How? That's a question that we ask a lot in life. How? There are three very, very, very important how questions I want to talk about today. These are right at the top of the list of questions pertaining to how. How can I be saved is the ultimate question. People ask that in the Bible. How can I be saved? I'm a sinner, wretched as can be. How can I, little old sinful me, be with God in heaven? How can I be in glory? How can I get to heaven? How can I be saved? And then a second question right behind that is, how can I be certain? How can I be certain I'm saved when I keep sinning and life has its problems? How can I be sure of it, certain of it, so I don't have doubts and I don't worry about things and have anxieties, I'm certain? How can that happen? And then last of all, how can I be really satisfied and content now? I mean, heaven is coming, I want to go there, but what about the 70, 80, 90, 50 years God gives me here? How can I really be satisfied, content, joyful, peaceful, and really live life here? Because God wants that too, doesn't he? So how can I be saved, how can I be certain, and how can I be satisfied? Three of the most important how questions we'll ever ask. And Jesus, our Lord, answers these three questions in one Bible verse, in one statement. It's very simple for the young 2-3-year-olds on up to us older folks. How can I be saved? Jesus is the way. How can I be certain? Jesus is the truth. And how can I really be satisfied and happy today? Jesus is the life. All packed into one little statement of Jesus. A powerful word of Jesus today. First of all, the ultimate question of life is, how can I be saved? How can I go to heaven? And Jesus says very, very simply, right into our ears and our hearts, for the young and the old, it's so simple, you can't miss it. Jesus says, I am the way. Any questions on that? I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way. I'm the way to God. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to glory. I'm the way to resurrection. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way. And God is always the way in the Bible. There are two ways, the way of evil that leads to death and hell, and the way of God that leads to life. What way are you following? God is the way to life, to heaven. Early on in the Bible, God's angry at the world, going to send a flood. And God provides a way of salvation. It's called the ark. Noah builds it. This is the way out, the way to salvation. Get in the ark. Only 8 people did. And then when God called Abraham, God said, go to the land, I will show you. Abraham had no idea where he was going, but God was the way. God showed him the land, God blessed him, and God was the way for Abraham. And then the people were slaves in Egypt 430 years. Slavery to the Egyptians. How are we going to get out? What's the way out? And God was the way out. Mankind didn't develop some strategy to rebel and revolt, which happens in our world today, rebellions all over the place. God was the way out. God sent the plagues. God caused the Red Sea to collapse over the Egyptian army. God did all. God's the way out. God did everything. And the people hardly even believed. And then they're wandering in the desert 40 years. God was the way there too. God led them by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire at night. God's the way. Or you're just going to stumble all over the place out here. Even to complaining, unbelieving people, God was the way. And then God was the way into the promised land. God parted the Jordan River. God conquered Jericho with a few trumpets. God conquered the Canaanites. God was the way to victory, the way to the promised land. God's always the way. And all that provides the context for Jesus, the Son of God, saying, I am the way. I've always been the way. I'm the way out of sin, the way out of death, the way out of hell. I'm the way out, and I'm the way into glory, in the resurrection, and into heaven. I'm the way. And notice, he doesn't say, I show you the way. He says, I am the way. And there's a critical big difference from being the way or showing someone the way. For example, if you're hiking in the Smoky Mountains, and you're deep in the Smoky Mountains on a hike, and you get injured. You injure your leg, your back, and you can't walk. You can't go anywhere. You're hurt. How would you feel if I come by on my horse and my glass of the Gatorade, I'm all cooled off, and I have a big map for you as you're lying there in pain. Here's a map. You're right here in the middle of the Smokies. You take this hike 5 miles, that one 7 miles, go up that terrain 13 miles, and you'll be out about 25 miles. Good luck. Here's the map. I showed you the way. See you later. Well, I showed you the way, but you're going to die. Or be eaten by a bear. Because you're incapable of doing anything. You got an injured leg or an injured back. You're lying there in pain. To be the way for you, I need to pick you up on my shoulders, put you on my horse, give you some food and some water, tend to your wounds. Sound like a good Samaritan, doesn't it? Take you to the hospital, make sure you're okay. Then you would say, Pastor was the way. He didn't just merely show me the way. He was the way. And that's Jesus. He's not here to show you the way. You're incapable of following the way. You're crippled and blind and dead by sin. So he picks us up in baptism, puts us on his shoulders, gives us the food of word and sacrament today, waters us with absolution, takes us to the hospital called the church today, one day taking us to heaven. He's the way. He does everything for us. Well, the next question then becomes, well, how can I be certain of it, Pastor? It sounds all so good. It sounds too easy. When there's so many other people saying they're the way, and this religion is the way, and that teaching's the way, I'm going to be certain. And as if the Lord knows we're going to doubt and wonder and be uncertain. So he says, and the truth. I am the way, and of all you that would doubt that and be uncertain of that and wonder about that, I'm the truth too. Which means I don't lie. I don't deceive. I'm not exaggerating things. I'm not just trying to show off and say something that's really not true. I'm the truth, too. What I say is the truth. I deceive no one. Excuse me. And so, the word truth here is important. The word truth here doesn't mean correct. I know there's a sense where truth means correct versus error. That's not really what he means here. Although he is that, too. He's the correct one. The word truth literally means genuine. We would say real. Christ is saying, I am real. I am genuine. I'm not a fake. I'm not a phony. We might say in our day and age, he's not a politician who tells us what we want to hear, but we know they won't do it. I'm real. I'm genuine. What I say is real and true. What I do is real and true. You can count on it. Be certain of it. So when I say I'm the way to the Father, I'm the way to the Father. Be certain, because I don't lie. I'm not a fake or a phony. I'm genuine and real, the Son of God. And I proved it by my works, and I'll prove it by my resurrection, if you don't believe. You know, a lot of us that are older, we know what the real thing is, right? What's the real thing? Coca-Cola. I heard that for many, many years. Coke, it's the real thing. But then, if Coke's the real thing, why has Coke changed so much? And now there's Diet Coke, and there's caffeine-free Coke, and caffeine-free Diet Coke, and there's Coke Zero, and there's Coke with lime in it, and there's Cherry Coke, and Cherry Diet Coke. If you're really the real thing, why you change so much? What's the real thing? I'm confused. It's just Coke. The real person, the genuine person who will never lie to you, never fib you, is Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change and adapt. He's the way. He's the truth. So when he says, I died for your sins, all of them, he died for our sins, all of them, be certain of it. When he says, I rose again for your salvation, he rose again for our salvation, be certain of it. when he says you're forgiven of your sins, even the really bad ones, even though you have guilt and regret and remorse, you're forgiven of your sins no matter how you feel about it, folks. You're forgiven of your sins because he says so. He says you're God's child in baptism. You're God's child in baptism. He says he is with you in life no matter what. He is with you in life no matter what. You're sick, you're well, you lose your job, you're dying, you're diseased. He is with you and loves you no matter what. Believe it. When he says to work everything for your good and you don't see it, he's working everything for your good. Believe it, be certain of it, because he's God. When he says in your dying days he will take you to heaven like Stephen, may you die like Stephen and say, Lord, receive my spirit. I believe, I'm certain that you're my king, you're my God. There's not a lot out there you can be certain of. Who are you going to believe out there? Christ is real, genuine, the truth. How can I be saved? He's the way. How can I be certain of it? He's the truth. Then last of all, how can I really now on this earth be satisfied and content? Can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be great. But what about right now? And so he says, and I am the life, which kind of covers everything. And the word here, life, is important. When Jesus says, I am the life, he doesn't mean existence, where he just causes us to exist with our heart beating and our lungs breathing. That's not what he means. He's not saying, I'm the one who made you, although he is the one who made us. That's not what he means. He doesn't say, I'm the one who made you and your heart's beating because of me and your lungs are breathing and you're existing because of me. That's not what he means. What kind of life is that where your heart beats and your lungs breathe, but you just don't know why you're here? That's called a rat in a rat race. When he says life here, the word life here means, a better word might be energy. Or it might be movement. It implies movement. It implies activity, action. I'm the one who brings energy to your life. I'm the one who brings activity and action and movement and vitality to your life. We are not just a stagnant rat in a race, sleeping and eating and drinking and carrying on the next day. I'm going to give you real purpose in life where you're moving, you're active, you're energy. Now, what is the energy of God? What's the action of God, the movement of God that he fills us with? In one word, it is love. When he says, I am the life, he's going to fill our lives with love. A moving love, an energetic love, an active love. Not a dead, stagnant, shallow love that's here nor there. But a love that sacrifices, a love that forgives, a love that serves, a love that does for other people. I am your life. I love you. I give you my life. I give you my love. I forgive you. And now I move you, compel you to forgive and love others. And when we forgive others, and we truly love others, and we serve others, and we're kind to others, and we help others, then we're living. Then we're living. And then, you know what? We kind of find ourselves happy. Joy and happiness are not something you seek. Joy and happiness are a byproduct of living the life God's called you to live. A life of love, all through faith in him who loves us. You see, when you are selfish, that's when you're empty. When you are selfish, it's all about me, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. You're going to be empty in here, and you're not living. But when you are selfless, and you give and give and give, then you're full. You're full of joy and peace given by the Holy Spirit. That's the great irony of it all. When you're selfish, you're empty. When you're selfless, that's when you're full and you're living. You know what is the number one major of college students? Number one major of college students. By the way, congratulations to college graduates and high school graduates and eighth grade graduates, kindergarten graduates. Congratulations this time of the year. What is the number one major of college students? You know what it is? It's not business. It's not engineering. It's not teaching. It is undecided. Really is. Now, we accept that for freshmen, maybe sophomores. You don't know what you want to do. I'm undecided. You put down. It's okay. There's a lot of people on this earth, though, that aren't in college, that are older and younger, that are undecided. Meaning they don't really know why they're here. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's life all about? I'm undecided. Don't be undecided. Christ is my life. The Son of God's my life. He loves me, and so I love others. He forgives me, so I forgive others. He serves me, so I serve others. And I give my life as a living sacrifice to all people, because He gave His life as a sacrifice for me. That's life. I give and serve and forgive, because He gives and serves and loves me so much. That's living. And whatever calling I have, I'm an engineer, I'm a teacher, whatever I do in life, I love and serve and I'm kind and good in whatever I do. And that's living. Until I live on high with Stephen and with God and all the saints. So consider the question, how? How can I be saved? Jesus is the way. How can I be certain? He's the truth. And how can I be satisfied now? He's the life. Praise be to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We stand and confess our faith.